again, and welcome to Supergirl Gab, the podcast where we watch the CW Supergirl, and then we talk about it. We are your hosts. I'm Chris.
And I'm Katie.
And this week we watched Season 3, Episode 2, Triggers. And Katie, I know that you said you have, you're feeling the conversation tonight. Your energy is up for this, right?
Somewhat. I mean, it's been, I think I said it last week that my feelings about the season going into it are still kind of mixed, and or like were mixed, and I still kind of feel that way. But I basically spent all of like Twitter today, Twitter and like in private conversations online, like talking about Clark Kent and why, like, and why I care about him so much. And also like his relationship with Lois and like, and a little bit into like the Superman mythos. So I've been like high energy for that. And then when I was on my way home from work, I was listening to another podcast, which you might know, called War Rocket Ajax, which has had just some really like high quality guests lately.
Lately, it seems like they've really been knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, because I was on 2 weeks ago or the week before. No, it was a week before. And our very own Chris Haley was on this one, and he happened to field a question about Superman.
Yeah,
so
the very first question.
I got
question.
To hear, yeah, almost as if this is part of your brand or something.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, keeping it very on brand for me. Question number one was about Superman.
Yeah. I got to listen after having like this whole afternoon of thinking in my head a lot while I was working about Clark Kent and Superman and stuff. I got to hear my co-host give an impromptu little seminar on his point of view of the character.
Right.
I called this speech before, but that makes it sound like you were rousing the crowd or something.
Well, I think it's...
But anyway.
Yeah, it's easy for me anytime when I start talking about Superman to feel like I'm trying to incite people to positive movement.
I mean, goodness knows.
Yeah.
Goodness knows I have several characters like that. And in some ways, like in doing this podcast and even before it, like I'm definitely with you there. Maybe not in the same intensity as you, because I know that he is your favorite, but definitely like,
he is like
we're both on the same page.
Yeah, Superman is sort of like he's like my, as I look around the room, like, and less than a foot away from the microphone is the new Superman Rebirth Deluxe Edition hardcover book one. And then sitting just, you know, less than a foot from it is a Superman trash can. And just like, I can't look anywhere in the room without seeing something Superman, basically. So yeah, he's kind of my number one guy.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So I left... and I only just watched the episode tonight, so I went into watching the second episode of the season with a very very focused day of thinking about.
You were already kind of charged for it.
That. Yeah. I had my energy up for it.
Yeah.
So, Chris, how are you doing?
So for me, I think we were definitely coming at it from sort of different angles because. This episode more just kind of left me feeling like no real strong way, one way or the other.
Yeah,
it was just kind of an episode. I mean,
yeah, I should make it clear that I also, while I came into it with a high energy, the show did not pick up that energy and run with it in the way that I would have hoped.
Yeah.
But we'll get into it, but I'm not like angry at it.
I'm not down on it, but it was like April watched the episode with me for a change, and because usually I can't convince her to do it, because you know, which I understand. You know, it's not that's I don't blame her for not wanting to watch it. But when we watch it, we do usually have fun. But then when it was over, she was just like, "What are you going to talk about?" And I was like, "Yeah, I have no idea." I was like, I felt like they didn't really give me much to go on. If the episode's running really short, we may just have to get into
our thoughts
on Superman and Clark and these characters in general.
I mean, that kind
you
of
might
makes,
have to.
I will say that that's incentive for me to get through this episode fast because Because goodness knows, I was hoping we would get to, like, maybe one more summer episode, which we didn't really get to. So I was hoping to do more, like, Clark-focused stuff over the summer. Yeah. So if we can get into, like, more just talking about Clark, too, especially today when my brain is, like, very, very focused on it. But yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the episode we watched.
Yeah, I mean, unlike the last one, I don't feel like there was really, there was something, I would say maybe the biggest problem for me in this episode, not to just start off on a bad foot, but it's like, I feel like when we have something that's sort of like gnawing at us, it tends to get the conversation moving a little quicker than just trying to talk about positives. So this is a thing, this is not a Supergirl problem. This is like an all fiction problem where, but especially it seems to crop up in these weekly TV shows, these like weekly genre TV shows, where they go, hey, what haven't we done? Or like, what's a thing we haven't really had her do? Or, you know, like, so it's like, oh, what if she's got to fight a psychic bad guy who's got, you know, and I can't remember everybody they've had on the show, but they've done stuff probably kind of similar before, but not.
That's the thing, but, though. I honestly thought that this reminded me of like other episodes I couldn't even think of. I feel like they've done similar things to this in a way that didn't make it, even though it wasn't the specific villain, it didn't feel very fresh.
Yeah. Well, but when they do this thing where they go, they come up with a like the gimmick for the week of what they want the bad guy's deal to be. And you go, okay. But then when they have one where it's like, oh, wait, we have someone in our regular cast who already automatically negates this. And so then they just go like, we kind of want to go ahead and get to lunch. So what if we just say for no reason whatsoever, that this character, this bad guy can take that out of the equation. So we don't have to try to come up with a more creative solution.
I mean, and it is, it's been a problem with John in particular in past because he's so, I don't want to say overpowered, but it's one of those things where he has a very specific, very powerful skill set. And he could fix a lot of problems, which tends to be why he's such a good hero in general, because he's very competent at doing these things. And I definitely can see. And again, it's something that they've gone back to where he just happens to not be able to do it. That is kind of,
it's like when they need him to not solve the problem, they just make him not able to solve it all of a sudden for some reason. And it just feels like, it's like, that's weak to me. Like, it's like, if you don't want to have problems, if you don't want to have Martian Manhunter solve your problems, have problems that Martian Manhunter couldn't easily take care of. Or don't have Martian Manhunter on your show that's supposed to be about Supergirl.
Yeah.
You know?
Or at least, like, plan it out so that this is when he's actually, like, when he's been gone for a while, if he's had to do something.
Yeah. If he's supposed to go, like, I mean, this is jumping to the end, but
yeah, he's supposed to go to Mars next.
He's supposed to go to Mars, so maybe save the psychic villain for the week after he leaves. I don't know. I know that running a TV show is probably, they've got a lot of juggling to do, and I know it's very hard, but come on. Don't just all of a sudden have this person that just, and it's like, they're so uncreative with what they have this super psychically powered bad guy do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird because I thought they were very unclear what her powers were for a long time.
I think they had no idea.
Yeah, in the episode. And she is, by the way, a comic character. She's actually been around since 1982.
Okay.
She is, first of all, they said they're calling her Psy. So in my head, I'm thinking S-I-G-H, like, I don't know, like, bemoan Psy. But no, it's P-S-I, which I'm like, how in the world am I supposed to know? How in the world is that supposed to come to my mind? So I will give them this. Her costume is way better in this because her costume, like, if you look up her Wikipedia page for this particular character, it's like a weird cutout thing. It's not necessary. It's not as bad as Starfire's like New 52 costume, but it's pretty.
That would be
it's
a pretty like high hurdle to get over.
Yeah, but it's still, like, it's still pretty ridiculous, and it makes no sense for, like, a human person. I will say the biggest laugh I got out of it is that they made a point of saying she's from Skokie, Illinois, which is approximately 20 minutes drive from me. It is where I usually go, where we usually drive to go, like, to the movies.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, it's also... where Oh Yeah Comics, which is like the comic shop that's run by the like Oh Yeah Comics people,
like Franco run, and the Baltazars.
Yeah. And so, like, those are the two things I know Skokie for. They have the movie theater I go to, and they have Oh Yeah Comics. So when I was like, ah, Skokie, that's great. That was the most interesting thing about this villain.
They probably did that just for you.
Yeah, I will say I appreciated the acting of the people around her and how intense they tried to make the effect, but by nature of her like power, it wasn't exactly a really interesting, which I'm pretty sure was done on purpose because it meant they didn't have to use a whole lot of special effects for her.
Well, they were saving all that money for the CGI shots of Krypton blowing up.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The full, that part where they have the scene where it's like on rails, like it feels like you're in one of those virtual reality roller coasters.
See, I was thinking the opening shot of like a first person video game.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's frustrating because again, I wasn't sure what her power set was, and I thought maybe it was more of a Vertigo thing because people were just like falling to the ground. So I thought maybe it was like a Count Vertigo. And I was like, why don't they just use Count Vertigo? I think they might have actually used Count Vertigo and Arrow at some point, but I don't know.
They did. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. They could have done Countess Vertigo and just had it be like this version. It doesn't matter. But then when it turns out that it's the fear, which I don't even think was her main power. I think she was just a psychic in the comics. But they're like, oh, fear. I'm like, I would rather watch the Scarecrow. Why can't you just bring the Scarecrow on?
Yeah.
Like, I know that it's a Batman. I'm sure that there's some complication where they don't want to use, like, Batman-focused villains. But if they can use Ra's al Ghul in Arrow, then they can... I don't see why they can't use Scarecrow and just have it be Scarecrow. Because that's so much, like, I don't know. It just... I don't know why this character was picked, besides the fact that they needed a character that fit this mold.
I want somebody that can get in her head, like, to trigger... I mean, the episode being called Triggers, maybe, is...
Yeah. But again, they could have... I don't know. I thought that there was some interesting stuff with how cool she was, like, cool and confident she was, and, like, how unfazed she was at the beginning. But there's only so much of that I can... watch before it gets kind of boring. So it was kind of like, and once I knew, you know that she's going to overcome it, and this is something, it's again, it's a storyline we've seen Kara do in the past. I don't know, I think I'm with you. It's not even that I was angry about this, it just wasn't as effective as other storylines Kara, like big bad storylines that she's had to face.
Yeah, it's just, well, to me it's like it's a kind of lazy use of that power, because, like, a much better use of that power, since she seems to be so incredibly psychically powerful, it's not like she just has a baseline thing. She can, like, make your fears go off, which would be, if that was the thing, you'd go, okay, great. Like, that makes sense to have her do these things then. But they said that she's, like, so, like, she's telepathic, and she's got, like... She can move. It seems like she can move stuff too, sort of. She would do those like forehead blasts that would seem to like look like they blew up car windows. So that means that there is a physical component, which means she has some kind of telekinesis. Like when you would see the wind come off of her forehead and hit Kara and blow out the windows on the cars behind Kara. So that means there's a physical component, which means, okay, telekinesis. But also she's just like that. She can tap into your brain and then like unlock something. and there's, and it's like an, on a really powerful, a powerful enough level that she can shut John out, says that like a much smarter way to have her do something would be to just like make her like, let her, she walks in there and makes the people not even be able to see her. Or if they do see her, completely forget that they ever saw, just like wipe it out of, you know, wipe it out of their minds. Instead of having people just like falling on the ground, writhing around. And especially like, cause the way that that seemed, it seemed like she had to be sort of like focused on people one at a time. And that part where, when all the police, you know, start showing up to try to stop her, like she's, it's not like she's just casting a fear bubble out. It was like, you would see her look at someone and then they would get upset and she would be like looking at them and like focusing in on them. And it's like any one of those other cop, like they had her surrounded. It's like, why not just make them all forget that you're there and just walk out? But also like, why bother just walk? It's like so dumb to have her just like robbing banks and like that her, her whole thing
is like this, money will make me happy.
Yeah. This
and
is like,
even like Kara's going like, no, that seems like a dumb motivation.
Yeah, it's like, this was like such a flimsy premise this week. Maybe I'm more mad about this than I thought, and it just seemed, it's not even like it's terrible, it's just like, it's lame.
And you see where it, you see where there were ways that they could have made it a lot better or more compelling. I'm the same way. I'm trying to think, I mean, in some ways, I can appreciate the fact that she's clearly more, she's clearly a little bit healthier than she was in the first episode in terms of like actually being productive and not like overdoing it totally, but still not being completely okay and still crossing some lines, but not like, but not going completely back on where she was in the first episode of the season. So I can appreciate that, but I am also getting kind of, I just kind of wanted to get over, to get moving.
I can see that. Yeah. It's like, there's some of that stuff though, where it's like, they're using that as shorthand to like cause friction in some of these things. And it's like, it really, like in some of that stuff, again, it just feels like lazy shorthand, because it's like, in that part where Lena first shows up to the office, and she didn't tell James, and then she and James are having that little conversation.
Do you want to like, get into that? Because I have some.
Well,
I have some.
Yeah,
thoughts.
we'll get into that. But it's like, so just that part where she's like, she goes, okay, and then like Kara comes in and is like, oh, here's your welcome to first day of school present, basically. And it's like, okay, that's very cute, and like I'm not saying that sarcastically. That's genuinely like a sweet, like bestie kind of thing to do, and shows like. What? But then she's like, then Lena's like, hey, Kara, can you get me this whatever? And it's like, one, and Kara's like, I'm sorry, I can't. I've got to do this real quick. I can get it later, but, you know, whatever. But it's like, one, Kara is a reporter, not your secretary. Like, there's a million, and two, there's a million other people who are now under your employ who could get that thing for you. It's just stuff like that where you're like, but also there was like a bunch of those kind of instances of those things where it's like trying to show that her friction. And it's like, in any one of those instances in the show where that kind of thing happened, where Kara was like, oh, I got to check my phone. Sorry, I can't do this right now. I've got to look at my phone. Like, it would have been much easier for her cover as trying to maintain these two lives. Sorry. I swear I've only been drinking water and Red Bull. I have not been drinking anything else. I'm just trying to stay hydrated, but also caffeinated. Unlike some people.
Have I mentioned on the podcast yet that I'm drinking wine tonight?
No, but maybe that was the smarter idea. Maybe I should have done that.
Too late now. We're already started. All right, keep going.
But, you know, like there's several times where it's like, it would have been so much easier for her to just go like, okay, great. And like, just wait half a second until like Lena go and say like, yeah, I'll get that as soon as I can. And then deal with your phone, not just run off straight in your boss/friend's face and stuff like that. It's like, I get the point. They're trying to go like, oh, she's not dealing with stuff as well as it seems like, or as well as she thinks and blah, blah, blah. But it's just, come on, guys, just try a little harder, please.
Yeah.
So now Yes, let's get into Lena taking over. And when she says she's taking over, she's really taking over.
So the only way that how she's treating Jimmy is going to work for me is if very soon in the next couple episodes...
I thought she was going to fire him at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Her attitude was...
But my thought is that, like, because she says she's coming in trying to be, like, trying to meet everyone, trying to be really hands-on, trying to, like, get off on the right foot. She has to apologize to him for basically being kind of, for using really aggressive tactics when she should come in with a collaborative, you know, work. And this is, I'm talking as someone who, in her day job, writes about how to run, like, small businesses and, like, lead people. And, like, right. Like, that's part of my job is, like, researching and, like, writing about how to do that, those kind of dynamics. And so, yeah, it was just, the way she was acting was wholly inappropriate. And she was clearly using some really passive aggressive tactics. And the only way that she, if she acknowledges very soon that it was some of, like, the Luther's teachings that kind of still seeped into her, and it wasn't a good choice for her to be so aggressive with him, I think that will work.
And it seems
like it has to be I really feel like it has to be something that the writers are intentionally adding to then have her recognize that she's doing something inappropriate. Because I don't think that, again, if she was really, the whole time she kept talking about how she was really wanting to get off on the right foot and
it's like, why was she being so nice to everyone else, but then, like, being a dick to Jimmy for no reason? Like,
yeah, the only thing I can think of is that whether she was, like, intentionally doing it or whether it was just something that came up because...
Yeah, it doesn't seem like she's... It didn't really seem like she was doing it intentionally, but it also seems like she should be, like, smart enough, her character should be smart enough to realize, like, what she's doing when she's being, like, super nice to everybody else.
Yeah, and being very, very dismissive and, yeah.
It's not like she doesn't...
really...
It's not like she doesn't know Jimmy. Like, they're already very familiar with each other. So it seems like a real weird move.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that the writers are doing this on purpose and are going to address the fact that she recognizes that again, because of how she was taught to do business, that she's, even though she's trying to get away from doing that type of treating of other people, sometimes it still comes out and she has to work on it. Yeah. I'm hoping that they address it. What I'm worried about is that they're setting up this conflict and the two of them get together.
Oh.
Because I could really see, because here's the thing.
Oh,
remember,
no.
I know. Remember, like, a year ago when I was like, oh, this Mon-El guy seems like a jerk. I hope that they just stay friends.
Oh, no.
I hope that they don't try to, yeah, right?
You've called it. You have 100% called it. Mm-hmm. There's no other reason to have her act like that. Oh, no. Yeah.
So, I mean, at least we're prepared.
Yeah, I guess
to be disappointed.
Well, and that does the thing of, like, getting, like, it totally gives both of them something to do. Remember what a big deal being guardian was to Jimmy? And we haven't seen a lick of that so far this season.
And you know what's frustrating? Because it's not that I defended the guardian thing, but I could at least, I wasn't completely wholly against it because I wanted Jimmy to have some, I really liked a lot of the things that they did with him in season one as, like, as one of the big, big support systems for Kara. Right. And as Kara got more support systems in season two, I didn't like the fact that they were, like, kind of pushing him into more of a B plot instead of being a supporting part of the A plot.
Yeah.
But I could at least appreciate that they were going to try to go somewhere with it. And I don't think they fully succeeded, but I liked parts of it. And I still enjoy parts of that. But yeah, it is very telling that we have not seen anything from that. We've had one mention of it, and I'm really worried that they're, I worry that it's just a character that they never have that they're going to just decide, well, now that we're not going to get him and Kara together again, which I will, I don't want to mention it every single episode, but it does drive me crazy that like the way that they split them up was ridiculous. Like it was so un, I don't want to say unwell done, but it wasn't, it was,
no,
so,
it was not done well at like, all. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. It was not done well. I was just, I wasn't phrasing.
We basically have to just like pretend that season one, for the most part, didn't happen because there's like, no, there's
which
nothing.
Sucks
because
there's so much good stuff from
yeah,
season one.
Yeah. I mean, like, but yeah. There's like, there's no Maxwell Lord. There's no mention of him. There's like all of that stuff with the other Kryptonians, sort of all of her interactions with like learning about her family and like her aunt that looks just like her mom is her mom's twin.
Yeah.
Like all of that
stuff. And now the mom
looks completely different.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be hilarious if they were able, if they did like a flashback now that had the new mom and then they were able to bring the other lady on, but to play the sister and be like, what? No, they were never twins. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
It feels like, and it all, honestly, it feels like the way that they had the sister, the aunt be a, you know, a twin of her mom was basically just to give that actress more to do because I mean, because she's, yeah. you know, she's like, she's a good actress. They clearly liked her and, you know, wanted to give her more to do, which is, you know, which is fine, but it's also, then yeah. it's like, it is kind of, you know, there is something when you go, like when it's kind of transparent that it's like, oh, they're just making this a twin so they can give this actress more to do.
Yeah.
Or anytime a TV show does something like that, you're just like, I guess sometimes I just hate seeing how, like, or I hate knowing sort of how
the mindset of why they did that.
Yeah, how, yeah. like, knowing how the real world affects the fictional world is, like, yeah. a bummer sometimes. Because you want them to just kind of be independent of each other. And when you start seeing those strings, it makes it much harder to enjoy sometimes, for me at least.
Yeah. So, I want to see your take on this because I think the most positive, surprisingly positive part of the episode is actually and all right, I say it's most positive. I still don't remember her name, but the woman who's clearly the Kryptonian, the third Kryptonian sent off that we met in the season premiere
right.
with her daughter.
Her name is Sam.
Sam, right. And oh god, her daughter's name was like
her daughter's name is Ruby.
Ruby.
I remember
right.
both of those very well because I've got a very good friend who is also a Samantha that we call Sam. And she might be listening to this and she just had a baby. So congratulations, Sam. Had a beautiful little baby girl. Who is not named Ruby, sadly, but man, that would be
okay,
a crazy coincidence.
That would be really weird. Yeah.
That would be an amazing coincidence.
That'd be really easy to remember now.
Yeah. But then
Ruby, so
Ruby is my, just, I'm sorry. This has nothing to do with anything, but it's just, yeah. they're both easy for me to remember. Cause then Ruby is my, great grandmother's name. And it's just such a great
nice.
Name.
Yeah.
It really is a,
I was thinking Ruby cause they mentioned Ruby and Diamond and my other podcast that is on hiatus right now is about Steven Universe. So so I was like, oh, I know that wasn't anything intentional, but that's what came to my mind. So anyway, I actually like their whole story this week was actually kind of interesting. Like the fact that she clearly is like, no, nothing happened. It was just adrenaline. And
there's no reason
like,
for
no,
her
that
to
was
think.
A lot.
I mean, and except for that sort
yeah.
of dream thing she had. I have two kind of, two big, not big, they're not like really important, but my two main notes on this whole thing, which we'll get to, but I do have two things to say about this. So, yeah, but there's,
so this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking either this is not the first time something like this has happened to her and they might bring that up later or she'll, I just have this sense that they're going to explain better that like that the reason why it shook her up was because was because like she felt something. Like it didn't feel like normal adrenaline or anything, and she's kind of just in denial. But I just I don't know. I liked the two characters. I liked the fact that the daughter
seemed I thought a little too old.
To be that twee.
To have that kind of
a little bit, but
if she was a little younger, I could go. There's literally those parts at the end where they were, you know, sort of there in the emergency panic blankets, you know, after traumatic, I don't know what they call those, like trauma blanket, something. They've got some kind of name like that. Anyway. And I was like, they look like they're the same size. Like, even though she's young, it's like that lady, either she is like a very like tall, you know, preteen. Or the lady playing the mom is just like very, very tiny. It's hard to get a vibe for it, but I was like, their heads look exactly the same size. If not, the daughter's maybe looks a little bigger. Like, cause they were sitting there resting their heads against each other. And I was like, thankfully I was not watching it by myself. So, it was, that feeling was corroborated by, April also thinking that they looked like mismatched size-wise for her to be the mom. She just seems like she must be very tiny in real life.
Okay.
Anyway.
I didn't.
Sorry, that has nothing to do with anything.
That did not connect with me.
I couldn't think of anything else.
That was the most engaging part. I did think it was a little corny that like, oh, she happens to be the one taking over LexCorp, and it just so happens that Alex has already met her, and so there's a little bit of that, but at the same time, it's just interesting that, like, there's an interesting moment where, like, the daughter thinking that she has superpowers isn't that weird, because look at the world that they live in.
Yeah, I guess but I was thinking more, it's like, that I was like, man, if she was a little younger, I could see her being hung up on it like that. But I guess, when you're living in that world where... But, to be fair to this little girl, and this was the thing I was yelling at the TV when it was happening, was, when the principal was like, oh, she punched this other girl, and, like, is there anything going on at home? And it's like, she was nearly killed in a terrorist attack last week.
I was really mad that was not brought up, like, because...
Give her a break. Like, she's doing the best she can.
Yeah, and, like, the fight was specifically about that.
Yeah.
About, like, the incident.
Like, jeepers, creepers. It's like, does the principal not know that she was nearly killed in a nuclear terrorist attack last week?
The writing on the principal when she was like, what's your husband? I'm like, that's a big assumption. Yeah. And why don't you have that information on, like, in record?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that, and also, but again, also, like, that's a big assumption that like she has a husband, or that she's like there's so many, there are 1,000 ways how rude would that be if she was in a gay relationship and like, how does your husband feel? No, my wife was very worried when I called her. Anyway, so that was, but it felt like that was, I swear to God, though, if it ends up, because obviously, like, whatever happened to this woman once she was sent off from Krypton, because she's clearly the woman, the baby sent from Krypton. So whatever happened with this, like, when she says there's no man in the picture, there's just him. I'm wondering if that's literal, and if it's like either a Anakin Skywalker situation,
or she stole
a baby.
Yeah, the first thing
I don't
the
know.
First thing that when yeah, the first thing when she said some when she said that, I was like, the first place my brain went was like, maybe this kid isn't what she seems to be either.
Yeah,
maybe there's, hey, you know what? Let's give them some benefit of the doubt and say that maybe it's not as obvious as we assume it's going to be. And there is like more to it somehow, that it's not going to be quite as obvious as it seems. Maybe.
I think it might be
until they prove us right, and it is as obvious as it seems.
Yeah.
Let's just say
I'm wondering if the reason why she was so adamant about like, no, it's just adrenaline, is if either she kind of remembers something or she was reprogrammed to not remember until the opportune time to screw up Supergirl's like life or whatever.
Yeah, maybe she's,
and it just so yeah.
She's gotta be around someone from the House of L for that, for her powers and whatever to kick in.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm wondering if they're going to set that up. But like I said, she was the most interesting part of the episode, I think. So I'm interested to see where they go with that. I thought that worked for me.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, so here's the thing, and I mentioned this last week, and I think this kind of plays into that. So it was like when I saw her, like I said, when I saw her last week, I was just like, she's just like a little too pretty, has a little bit too much screen presence to just be some background character. So we, of course, knew that she was going to be somebody. And then in this episode, she shows that even more by having, you know, she's good. Like her character, you kind of believe, I feel like I could, you know, buy the emotions that are coming across just like on her face and not just.
I could see her being in another CW show. Like, not exactly Gilmore Girls, but very much like she and her daughter are in the big city.
Yeah,
and they're. And they're both, and she's just doing her best. She doesn't have time for a love life, but she's doing her best at this big corporate job, and they're living the dream.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, so, and the whole time, I felt a little bit of this last week, but I wasn't really paying that close attention to it, because she was just kind of barely in last week's, even though, like, just seeing her, you know, for a second, you could tell, like, she's somebody. But this week, since she was on it so much more, and they're really, like, holding the camera on her face, I was going, like, man, why does she look so familiar? And I figured out why she looks so familiar. It's because she is Beth, the girl that they are trying to save in Cloverfield.
Right. She is. Yep.
So I was like, and when that clicked, I was like, oh my gosh, that's who you are. I mean, and she's been in other stuff, but that was like the thing that really.
I was like, going to say, when you said petite before, like she was really petite in Cloverfield. I think she looks a lot. That's probably why I didn't recognize her at first, because she's clearly like, she doesn't look nearly as tiny as she did in that movie.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, and I guess that movie was now like almost 10 years ago.
10 years ago. Yeah.
Which is amazing to think about.
Yeah.
But, so there was that. The other thing I was going to say was, you know, so that was like a huge kind of revelation moment for me. I was like, oh, okay, this is why she looks so familiar. But the other thing was that scene where they're having that, where she's dropping her off for school and she's like, you know what this job means, right? It means mom's going to be making a lot of money. And then like a little bit later, it shows that establishing shot of their house and it's gigantic. And
yeah.
I was like, it seems like mom is already doing pretty well. And I'm like, what was she doing before this? Like what?
I don't know. I don't know if, you know, but John Troutman, who's a collaborator of mine. I'm mostly on projects that we have not actually gotten off the ground yet, but are happening, which seems to happen. Although we did an audio commentary for the 1992 classic Newsies that you can both that you can find on both of our Patreons if you really want to check that out. So we've done a little, yeah, that was a hoot this summer. Anyway, but he, before I had seen the episode, because I didn't watch it live, but he was live tweeting it and he was complaining about the size of their house, and I was like, but I mean, have you seen Cara's apartment?
Cara's apartment does seem to mostly be sort of like one room, though.
Not a suite apartment, but
it's a studio apartment.
A studio apartment. But it's like the biggest freaking studio apartment I've ever seen.
It has very high ceilings. It has very high ceilings to accommodate for the television lighting.
Yeah, yeah. And really, the decor is really fancy and huge windows, huge.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, my one bedroom apartment, not nearly as big, not even close. And I'm pretty sure I make a higher salary than her. I'm just gonna guess, at least when she was an assistant. But I feel like we've had this argument before. I think someone said, like, well, Kat paid her really well because she was the only one that would put up Kat. But I'm like, but
now she's just a reporter.
Now she's just a reporter.
She probably makes money from the
DEO.
The DEO also. She had that apartment from the first episode. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's,
yep.
It's
anyway.
BS.
But yeah, so I mean, I guess that you can make the point that, like, if she's running Lena's whole company, she must have had it. That might be a step up, but she must have had a job besides that that was still
fairly...
Yeah, but
you don't, as a parent or just as a person, especially like if you're trying to explain something to a kid, you don't say that, like, hey, the reason I'm doing this thing that's going to be keeping me from spending more time with you is because I've got this opportunity taking this job, making a bunch of money. When you clearly...
And then you have that house.
Yeah, when you clearly already... Money is clearly not a problem for you. And it's also, it's like, they were acting like she... They, like... It's... Well, no, maybe not. I was going to say, it seemed like they were maybe implying that they had moved there for her to take that job. But then I guess that's not the case, because the principal was like, you know, she's a good kid and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, this is,
and also like she would have taken that job when Lena decided to move over. And that was like last episode, and she was already in the city.
So never forget that part. But that's definitely the kind of thing you say when you're like,
When
you're worried about money constantly, and it's like, if you're really worried about money, maybe don't live in a mansion. Like, that kid clearly, you know, does not seem like she is hurting for anything. Also, give your mom a break. She also almost just died in a nuclear terrorist attack last week, man. Just give, chill out.
There's also the part where she's like, I wonder if Supergirl has a job. And I didn't connect it at first, so I was like, that's a really weird thing to say right after you almost died a second time.
Yeah. Also, I mean, how long do you think it's going to take her to figure out that Supergirl and Kara are the same person? Because it seems like...
I don't know. No one seems to figure that out, so who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, the fact that apparently I was certain that Lena knew, but now I'm pretty sure she doesn't, or else she would have, like, been like, oh, you have to go take care of something.
Yeah. She would,
like,
see...
At least, even if she didn't acknowledge it, like, there would have been a look on her face.
Yeah.
But there's no indication that she knew. So I don't even know at this point. Who knows?
Her accent was also all over the place this week.
It was okay. The first few minutes, I was like, okay, Lena, you got it. Oh, there.
The problem for me, it's like, it's not like she just completely falls out of it, but it'll be like one word in a sentence sounds off. And I'm like, what is going on?
And then she'll overcompensate.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. She'll like ramp it back up the other way. She'll catch herself and go like, oh, that's not how they say that. And then suddenly the rest of the sentence sounds like an American robot or something.
I'm trying to remember when I had one theater class in college, and I had to do a last dance at Ballyhoo, I think, but it was like a Southern play, and they were just like, because I was like, and I think we were the only scene performance in that class that had an accent, and I was just like, what am I supposed to do with this? And the teacher's like, look, I'm not going to grade you on the accent, like, being perfect. Just have it be consistent.
Yeah.
So I was like, it will be consistently not correct, but I will do my best.
So I will. Let me do a quick aside real quick here on something along those lines, just for fun, that has absolutely nothing to do with the show.
Oh, don't
just
make
because-
me do the...
No. I'm not going to do that.
Because it's been over 10 years since I had that class.
I wouldn't spring that on you. I would give you time to prepare for that. But,
yeah, let's not.
Just along those lines. So I'm trying to put together a not D&D game amongst some friends who are not D&D players that's way more focused on just like having a good time and not so much on keeping up with a bunch of numbers and having to have a whole bunch of dice.
Yeah.
And to try to put them in the mindset of how to do it, like where they feel comfortable going, like, I know what a my character can do and can't do. I want to do it with the X-Men. Right? So, because it's like, if you're playing as Wolverine, you basically...
Oh, so Gambit. So Gambit.
No. Well, kind of, well, I was like...
I don't know, I just assumed that's where you were leading.
No.
It was like, weird accents that no one understands.
Yeah, where it's like, but you know, so, you know, if you're playing as Wolverine and you're a comic fan, you know, you're like, and all the people that I'm trying to, you know, who I'm interested in, you know, trying to get to have a go at this, are all comic fans. And it's like, if you're playing as Wolverine, you basically know what Wolverine can do. You know that, like, he's can fight and he can take a lot of damage and he can stab people, but he can't shoot lasers out of his eyes. He can't do a, you know, suddenly summon a dragon. But I was talking to some of the people about, you know, who they wanted to play, what they wanted to do. One of my, Matt from Comics Rule Everything Around Me, that one of the other shows I do, he gave me the list of characters that he was thinking about maybe playing as. And he's like, I'd like to, and then he also had a list of some characters that he would like to do. He would like to play as them, but he was like, I don't think I can do their accents. He's like, I don't think I could stay in character as what they would do, but I don't think I could do their accents enough to play the whole game. And like, one of the people he mentioned was Colossus. And I was like, oh my gosh. Now I'm like, I wish that I could play so I could do like a bad Colossus, Russian impression the whole time.
I was gonna say Russian would not be a problem of all the of all the accents. I mean, it wouldn't be accurate, but I could keep it. Like I said,
you could keep it going. Exactly. That's exactly how I felt. I was like, I know this would not be a good, accurate...
Vaguely Eastern European.
Yeah.
I've watched Rocky and Bullwinkle. I know how that works.
Exactly. So I was like, I know I could... It wouldn't... Yeah, it's like you said, it wouldn't be correct, but it would be consistently wrong.
Yeah. So I feel like there was a lot more to this episode that we just don't care about. So I'm trying to think of like any core other things that we really wanted to touch on.
I've got a positive thing that I wanted to mention, is that, I enjoyed, seeing more of Wynn this episode.
Yeah.
He didn't have much to do, but the parts that he was in reminded me of how much I can enjoy him on this show, and the guy, I forget the guy's name, but the guy that plays Wynn is great.
Yeah. I appreciated the part where after Kara is like, can you fix this for me? And his response was like, well, first of all, I'm really sorry you're going through this and I hope you're okay. Which is like a very friend thing to do. It's just like, let's just stop from the superhero stuff to just point out that I'm worried about you, but I want you to be okay.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
And he's just good. What's the guy's name? Is it Jeremy
Jeremy
something?
Jeremy Jordan.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was Jeremy
Which, by
something.
The way, if you want to watch his performance of Newsies, it is finally on Netflix.
Hooray!
Yay! So if you want to watch him be like, speaking of ridiculously bad accents, because he does, again, he was the lead in, he was like the well-known lead in Newsies, which meant that he did like the most ridiculous New York accent ever, which is not his fault because it's the character and Christian Bale started it. So it's really Christian Bale's fault. But so you get to hear him do bass. I mean, that was the thing though, in the musical from last year's Supergirl Flash crossover, he basically recreated his accent, which was the greatest thing I've ever seen. I was like, thank you writers for making him do this, because it made me so happy. But no, he's like, he's super talented. But yeah, so that is officially on Netflix, so you can watch it for free.
I will definitely put that link in the show notes for certain.
So my favorite, I think one of my favorite things besides the Sam Moore stuff about this new character thing, I did honestly appreciate the little argument between our favorite lesbian couple in the beginning, where you weren't quite sure what they were arguing about, but you knew it was something with the wedding. And it finally...
I knew it was the wedding. I knew obviously it was something with the wedding, but I was like, I know it's going to be something like incredibly not important.
Yeah, not important. And then, so, and it made me realize that John reminds me a lot. Have you seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
He reminds, there are
I've
moments,
not put that together before, and now it's like, you've opened the door.
Yeah, there are moments where he reminds me a lot of Captain Holt, and I feel like that scene was the most he's ever been Captain Holt-esque, because they're like, first of all, he's like, why are you all yelling at my, in my office? This is ridiculous. and then Alex is going like, you need to settle this for us, DJ or band for the wedding. And you see him like stare at it and you think he's going to go, this is not worth an argument in my workspace. And instead he gives this whole big like explanation about
this
how
awesome
like,
logical answer.
Oh, it's so good. And then he says like, he ends it with to properly get jiggy.
Yeah. They're
and so
less
it
likely
makes,
to
like,
like
to
he says that less likely to properly get jiggy on the dance floor.
And then he decides to go with DJ, which is Alex's. And then someone ends, I think it might have been Maggie going like, did he just say jiggy? And it's just a really lovely moment in an episode that doesn't have like a ton of like really great things. And I will also give a small shout out to Alex's support scene, because usually Alex is the one that needs support. And I liked the little bit towards the end where Kara says, I won't have anything left. And she says, well, you'll have me. And she goes like, well, I know that dummy. And there's like this really sweet, it felt like a very genuine moment between two sisters. And again, it's nice to see Alex be the support system instead of the other way around. So I liked, I liked parts of it. And there are certainly, I feel like neither of us are really furious at this episode. It's just.
Yeah, no, there's, it's, there, nothing in this episode really like, other than some of the stuff of yelling about, come on, there was just a nuclear terrorist attack last week.
And me like seeing the, like some stuff with Leia and Jimmy and having no, like, I feel like Cassandra, where I'm like, I can see it coming and I can't do anything about it. And no one will
can't
listen
stop
to me.
It.
I can't stop it from happening. But I can see it in the distance and it's coming ever closer. And I just, once it gets into view, I'm going to be like, I told you all.
Oh, in that scene with them arguing about the band versus DJ, also had a great little win moment, which was the thing that first got me thinking about when is good on this show.
Yeah.
Was that part where he's like, where she's like, I've saved your life. And he's like, yeah, but
well,
so has basically everyone here.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, thank you for calling attention to that.
This episode,
yet again, there were two instances of shots that were directly stolen from Superman Returns. and I could pull the video and put them right next to each other.
Do you think,
are they going to keep doing this the whole season? Two episodes in a row. One episode, it's like, okay, whatever. But two episodes in a row where there's multiple shots that are like, clearly, I mean, the lighting, everything is just like it. I'm like, this has to be on like some kind of thematic purpose. There has to be something to this.
Do you think it's just that they don't think anyone will know that they're ripping it off because no one remembers that movie?
Maybe.
Besides you.
Besides people like me, of which there are maybe not that many.
Yeah, but you have a podcast.
I don't know.
So you're getting it out to the masses.
Exactly. I can call them on the carpet for it. But I'm fine with it. But I'm just like, I would, like I said last week, I would love to know. And it's not just from, well, like last week, there was the part, there was also that shot from Batman versus Superman. And so I'm like, maybe just the whole season, they're going to steal shots from Superman movies, which is weird to do. But okay, if that's what you want to do. I mean, maybe it's just like to go like, hey, they're so, like little Easter eggs just to make people like me go, oh, hey.
So here's the thing that we'll know. Okay. If Kara ever walks into Popeyes.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Then we'll know.
If she flies from behind a Popeyes chicken and lands to take on a vet. Yeah, exactly. Then we'll really know.
Yeah. They'll be like, the last.
I knew it.
The straw that broke the camel's back.
They'll save that for the
finale.
The finale. Yeah. Yeah, the finale. The wedding will be catered by Popeyes.
Yeah. I just really like them. I don't know what to tell you.
Guys, we just really like Popeyes. We think they're the best fried chicken place.
So I think that's all I got to.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much all I've got for this episode, but I do have one correction from last episode I need to clear up.
Is it correcting me or correcting you?
It's correcting me, of course.
Oh, good.
I would say something to you beforehand and go like, hey, do you want to mention this?
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you keep thinking I'm going to spring these like horrible traps on you, and I promise I'm not going to.
I mean, I brace for whatever's coming.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on. What horrible mistake did you make?
Hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
Yeah.
So last week, in talking about Bloodsport, I was so wrapped up in remembering this Bloodsport, this version of Bloodsport that was like burned into my brain because he was like the first villain that came up after the death and return of Superman, that I completely forgot the 80s version of Bloodsport that is actually the one that the character last week was based on.
You know, it's so funny because someone corrected me about that after we did the episode, because I was talking about, I was just talking to someone about the episode and like that funny thing about this character that just was like, that's been around since the 90s, but like he showed up in this kind of mediocre role. And someone was like, yeah, no, he's been around since the 80s. I'm like, are you sure? Because my very knowledgeable co-host said that he was around, that he started in the 90s. No, he definitely started in the 80s. Like,
he definitely did. And I was just completely hung up on that other guy that he had made me. And the thing is like, I even have the comics where the two of them fight it out. Like, and I remembered this while I was editing the episode. So I put some stuff about it in the show notes for last week's episode. But in case people just listen to the show and don't look at the show notes, I wanted to say yes before.
Don't do that. That's where our Patreon links are.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
No.
Well, but we mentioned the Patreon in the episode too, so it's okay. But I completely remember the other Bloodsport. I was just having one of those moments where it happens. You know,
no,
none
fine.
Of us are perfect.
I find it funny that you feel so apologetic about this character that no one else cares about.
Yeah, yeah. But it was just like,
feel so bad for characters who are clearly no one's favorite character. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's just kind of sad because, like, everybody, like, almost everybody is someone's favorite. No, not, I don't think Bloodsport. Yeah.
Well, definitely not the version, the 90s version of Bloodsport, who was like a, white supremacist.
Someone out there. Let me retract it. Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
So there's my apology and correction on that. I realized what I had done, but it was already too late in the episode. Like, I mean, it was after the episode I remembered that I had gotten it wrong. I got it right. I just forgot about the other guy. But the guy that the 80s version is clearly who this one was based on. So, so there you go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So
even a super fan can get their super facts mixed up once in a while.
Literally decades of information. I think you're okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. So,
I think that I can't imagine there's anything else. There was decidedly less Mon-El in this episode. I'm sure that had to please you.
There's still some shots, so whatever. and she still talked about him all the time.
A lot.
And it's going to keep happening. Like, yeah. I'm resigned to the fact that, unlike Poochie, Mon-El did not.
He did not die.
He clearly did not
die. We know something happened to him.
So,
But
so yeah, so this episode was kind of just lukewarm. It was
middle of the road.
I would like to. I'm hoping that they're clearly kind of jumping into something new with the Martian stuff. So we'll see next week.
Yeah, that was a nice little teaser.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, what's that line that what was the line that McGann said to him?
I don't remember which line you're talking about.
It was she says something about like basically. You need to come to Mars right now. But it just made me think of that line in what is that movie? That line that's where they say get your ass to Mars. what movie is that? Oh, now I'm gonna have to apologize for this next week.
Yeah, it's all right. You'll figure it out.
I think it's Total Recall.
That makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense.
It's the only movie. It's the only Mars movie I can think of.
Like, either that or Mission to Mars, which I did not see, so I don't know. And I don't feel like that was a movie where they're like, you need to get your ass to Mars. Also, aliens exist and something, yeah. Something.
Something, something, yeah.
So that was this episode.
I think this is yet another episode we've defeated. So, Katie... with all of my goals with these episodes is just if we get to the end safely, I feel like we've won. So
well, we haven't continued on into infinity yet, so
yeah, not yet. So Katie, tell everybody about all the places to find you and the cool stuff you have coming up at Halloween.
At some point I will not be promoting this anymore, which will be exciting. First of all, you can find me on Twitter at
Way. I'm super stoked about it.
And I'll get to it after.
Don't feel bad about promoting this and crowing about it because it's super cool.
Okay, all right, I won't. But I'm at Just Plain Tweets. I have a Patreon, which we link to in the show notes. Those are usually like two places you can find me, but also katieshankle.com is a good place. I said this last week, I am a part of Halloween Comic Fest this year. My comic Moonlighters is part of it, which basically means that similar to Free Comic Book Day, you go into your participating local comic shop. And you can get a free copy of the first issue of my comic. On top of that, they're also, I found out, because I knew they were doing pre-orders of these, but I think that some shops are choosing to also sell them off the rack. But I also have these packs of issues of Moonlighters that are supposed to be, they're basically being sold in packs of 25 for $5, so super good deal. And they're meant to be passed out for trick-or-treaters. So if you want to, and not just my book, but all the books that are participating in Halloween Comic Fest. So if you are looking for a different thing to pass out for Halloween or something in addition to candy, that's kind of a cool thing to do, and I really want my book to get into kids' hands, so I would highly appreciate it if you check that out.
So you can let them, you know, unlock their minds to the secrets they need to know around them about werewolves.
Yes, and that's totally.
You got to start teaching these kids about werewolves early. They need to understand how it works.
Also, I'll give a heads up that my, the fourth issue of Moonlighters, because it's a digital first series, so the fourth issue will be available on Comixology and Amazon on November 1st. So that is also coming up pretty soon.
Those are some good, yeah.
Yay!
Hooray!
Hooray!
We don't normally do, speaking of Halloween comics though, we don't normally do, like, straight up do recommendations. But I will, along those same lines, I would like to recommend something that just came out today as we're recording this on Comixology. The 2017 edition of Boo, which is an anthology series that comes out every year about with a bunch of Halloween fun, horror, Halloween, spooky, some fun, some a little more spooky than others. Comics came out today on Comixology. Just type in B-O-O and you will find not just this year's, but you will also find past editions, some of which I contributed to, and some of which that many friends of our various shows have contributed to, many of our former Comics Alliance comrades. So it just...
Yes, help them get money. They don't have that sweet, sweet comic criticism money anymore.
Yeah, we don't have that coming in anymore. So you should check that out. It's good stuff. And every year, John Morris, or at Calamity John on Twitter, he's one of my all-time favorite artists, one of my like artistic heroes, and such a good dude who is always doing stuff to try to help other artists out and to just do... just kind of a good all-purpose, good deed kind of doer and a great artist. He, you know, has put this whole thing together for like, you know, 4 or 5 years now. There's even been like a, there's been a Christmas edition once where it was still like spooky Christmas stories and stuff like that. Just a lot of good stuff. So check that out. Go to Comixology, check that out. I'll put the links in there.
Since we came up a little short, can I also do a recommendation?
Yeah, absolutely.
Quick? It's not a brand new one, but here's my thing. So I was supposed to be on the Rank and Vile podcast.
Hey, that's crazy. Because I just met those people for the first time at the comic thing I did a couple weeks ago.
They're super nice. Yes. Yeah, I was on over the summer and I was going to come back actually to promote Halloween Comic Fest. We did a 1.5 to 2 hour episode and my audio messed up.
Oh, no.
And so it's completely lost. No, it was, I have felt guilty about it for weeks. So I had a whole thing where I talked about this particular comic and just like recommending it because it's very Halloween-y, and then it got lost. So I want to not completely recreate it, but I do want to, since we're doing recommendations for comics, I'm going to throw this out.
Okay.
But it's, and it didn't come out this week, but it came out a few months ago, but it's the volume for Dead Man, Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love.
Oh, okay.
Which... It is a gothic romance about a woman who can see ghosts and this kind of love triangle between her beau of, and it's a modern story, but like her beau who has inherited like a mansion, like a dark mansion from his ancestors. And then like the charming, non-binary, shopkeep that the heroine has become friends with in the course of it. So there's this like this sweeping queer romance going on, and also Dead Man is there. Boston Brand is there to help with a ghost problem in this mansion. It is like this perfect mix of DC comic stuff, and also it's kind of Crimson Peaky because of the like gothic side of it and the ghosts.
Right.
And it's a romance, and it's just, it's such a, and the art is gorgeous. It's Len Medina doing the line art, and I'm trying to remember who does the colors, because the colors like make it, it's so good, but I'm trying to Google it and I'm not being able to pull it up. But it's super good. It's Sarah Vaughn wrote it, but I was able to read it from beginning to end because I didn't want to read it from issue to issue. I wanted to like get the whole story, and it's such a delight, and it's such like, but the full volume is out now, and I would highly recommend if you're looking for some weird, spooky, ghosty, gothic romance, it's a good one.
I am so stoked to hear you recommend this, because I saw that book and I was like, this looks like the kind of thing that is either I would really like it or I would not care for it at all. And I was like, but I don't know anyone who's read it. So I'm excited to hear you give it a good rec, because now I cannot wait to check it out.
Yeah, it's really charming. Like I said, it's a very like one and done sort of secular story, but it does exactly what it wants. It clearly is doing exactly what it wants to achieve. And again, if you're a fan of like those genres kind of mashed together and kind of Dead Man leaning into the weird ghosty element instead of the superhero element, you're really going to dig that.
Awesome.
And like I said, it's gorgeous. So yeah, highly recommend. And I'm glad I'm able to promote it somewhere since that whole conversation got wiped away. I'm going to go back to them, at some point, probably next year, I think. But if I have guilt for anything this year, it is for like that that whole mess up. So yeah, which is why, by the way, I'm so glad that this is a little behind the scenes for you folks, that Chris records everything with our podcast, so I don't have to worry about anything on my end.
Yeah. We only have to worry about if something goes horribly wrong with my computer.
Knock on wood, but yeah.
Exactly, which only seems to happen, thankfully, only seems to happen before we're trying to record.
Yeah. Including tonight.
Including, basically seems like every night we try to record. I don't know what the deal, it's like it knows when I'm trying to do something that's actually important. And it's, especially when there's like someone else waiting for me, like with someone going like, hey, how's it going? Are you like, you said you were going to be here.
So, Chris, where can people find you?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm at The Chris Haley on Twitter and Instagram and places like that, the social media places. Also, yes, we mentioned it earlier, or you mentioned it earlier, that the new episode of War Rocket Ajax, I am the guest host for the week and shook it up a little bit by not doing like a regular episode. It was just me and Matt doing some high quality content, some HQC as they call it. Just having some fun, getting to have fun with one of my friends, just do some good goofs. And
I've listened to part of it before I got home and had to watch Supergirl, and I highly enjoyed it.
I think it's one of my better podcast appearances for just getting to have a good time and do some good goofs.
I was going to say, are you counting our high quality podcasting?
I think,
or is that separate?
I think, but this shows that I sound like a jerk if I'm saying that like the shows that I do are good. This is me. I'm saying that it was, I was getting to go just have fun as a guest and not have to worry about any of the, anything other than just being
waiting for you to be like episode 44 of my podcast where I watch Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
That was the one where I really peaked.
Yeah.
Everything else since has been
everything
just
after
kind of,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was just, you know, it's a different, you can kind of be in a different mindset when you're just there to like try to be a silly foil for the person who actually has to worry about hosting the show and, you know, and like recording things and editing and doing all that stuff. When you can just show up and be a silly boy like I enjoy being, then that's a lot of fun. And people ask me a bunch of great, ridiculous questions, some about Superman, some about other ridiculous things. So, give that a listen. Follow the show on Twitter at KICTM Podcast. You can go to the Patreon. It's patreon.com/TheChrisHaley. That gets you early access to all the episodes and stuff like that. And there's like a bunch of other bonus stuff. Be sure to go to the show notes, check out all of the links to the things we talk about that I say I'm going to put in the show notes, and then actually remember to put in the show notes. If you haven't already, please, by all means, go to iTunes and give us a positive rating if you're enjoying the show. I know that like basically every podcast says that, but it really does help out. And thank you so much to everybody who has already done that kind of thing. It's super cool. And it like, you know, I kind of mentioned this a little bit last week, but at that comic thing I did a couple weeks ago, having like real people show up and say that like, oh, I'm totally into Supergirl Gab, like, or, you know, or like, hey, I miss you guys talking about Supergirl at Comics Alliance. And then finding out that, oh, we're doing it as a podcast now. And then having those people be excited, like genuinely be excited, to the point where some of them, you know, like where I saw people who I got to tell about that, and then they came back to the show the next day and were like, hey, I started listening to it. It's great. It's so cool to get to hear you guys talking about this again. Yeah, it's like, that's super cool. And it's like, it really is great to hear from real people that are going like, hey, we like what you do. So thank you guys and gals and everyone in the world that gives us a listen, and especially those of you that help out and tweet about the show, all that kind of stuff. Retweet when we talk about the new episode that's come out, all of that stuff. Can't thank you enough. I think I've been sappy and sweet enough for one episode, so that's probably the end, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're good.
All right, guys. Well,
we didn't get to talk about Clark. That's going to have to be another...
That'll have to be its own episode, probably. All right, guys. We'll see you next week for more Supergirl Gab.
All right, bye, everybody. I ended up listening to some of the War Rocket Ajax, so I got to hear your little
brief take on Superman.
Yeah. I honestly was surprised it didn't go longer, because I was like, oh, he could go.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like I was trying to be very respectful of of the time, because and also I kind of just wanted to zag on everybody, because the way Matt even asked me, he was like, I know this, you could, you know, he was like, he basically set me up to talk about it for a long time. I was like, yeah, oh, y'all think you've got me all figured out. Well, watch this. Boom. Yeah. Super quick answer.